Okay, hi there. I was shown this recently and it really surprised me. Before forgiveness, and since forgiveness hasn't worked through my whole entire mind, I was still practicing fight and flight. Maybe not so much fight, but then I got to see all the different kinds of forms of fight and flight. Something was happening, something seemed to be happening. And I was holding the thought in my mind, well, I don't want to go there. You know, I don't want to experience that. You know, there was something that was going on in my mind, and I was very sure that I didn't want to go there, or I didn't want to experience that, or I don't want to talk about it, or not right now, or whatever. It would be like whoever, because it always seemed to come up with someone else with me, I would practice some form of flight. Like moving away, like distancing myself. And what seemed to happen in my mind that when I distanced myself from my brother, my mirror, whatever this was that seemed to be rising, that when I distanced myself from this, I seemed to experience peace. And so it's like, oh, you know, and then it was like my mind kind of learned that, wow, when I distance myself, now I'm peaceful and all is well. Yet whatever was coming up didn't necessarily get healed. What I didn't realize, what I was teaching myself, that distance was peace. The same lesson, the other side of it, was that intimacy was uncomfortable. So if the rationale in the mind is now I've distanced myself and now I'm peaceful and happy, the other side of it is intimacy, closeness is uncomfortable. So then what I found is that when I would like go out and become in relationship with others, I would forget Course in Miracles lesson. I would become aware of my comfort or uncomfortableness. And that's what it was that I was experiencing. And it's like, oh, but when I'm at home, I'm peaceful. And when I'm here in an intimate with someone else, I'm not peaceful. And it was only because the reason I was experiencing the other side of the lesson was that I believed that distance gave me peace. Okay, I'm going to pass the mic now. Betsy, thank you.
Okay, this is really great conversation. I really appreciate everybody who's spoken. I can relate to everyone, and I'm definitely in process with all of this. I spend a lot of time alone and have that thing going where distance feels a lot better. At the same time, I used to go to a teacher who would say, once you give your yes to going home, this is how she would say it, once you give your yes to waking up, then you enter what she would call the divine hospital. And that is when absolutely everything in your life is used towards your awakening. That was really helpful knowledge. And since then, I see everything through that lens, everything that happens to me, everyone that comes into my life. And it's been so interesting to look at relationships that come into my life through that lens. And not take so many things as personally. A lot of people have come and gone and been very short relationships and very bizarre situations that just seem very strange. And I'd be like, why is this person in my life? And it would just be so interesting. But again, I would look at them as some kind of mirror and some kind of gift to help me work through something that needed to be worked through, and then they'd be gone. And it was just always so interesting. Part of this whole thing, too, was I felt like, well, I shouldn't have any pets on my journey to awakening. And I had to struggle for that. I ended up getting two cats not too long ago, about 4 years ago. And they have been a huge part of my journey. It's been a very, very challenging situation. I live in a tiny apartment. I have two cats and they don't really get along well. It's been incredibly challenging to deal with it. I mean, there's just so many layers of it. And again, the Holy Spirit is like, even if you're not going to go out and have a lot of friends, you're going to deal with this right in your own home. It's funny how things just unfold and you're given what you need at where you are and you know how it's best going to help you. It's quite amazing, this life. Thank you. This is a great, great conversation.
you for saying that, Betsy, because that brought something up for me too. I have this little Chihuahua pug terrier mix, and I've had him for quite a while. And if he hasn't been bringing it home for me, I don't know who would be. Because there was a point in time where I too lived alone. And now that I'm married, I don't have that experience because I'm around somebody pretty much all the time. And we both have our own business, so we're around each other pretty much all the time. But when I lived alone, and I lived alone for many, many years, I had a dog. I didn't want to really be totally alone. Anyway, so this cute little guy, his name is Sydney, still got him. When I would get angry, he would shake. Now, I never hit him. You know, I'd never hit a dog. But he would shake. He would tremble. And I wouldn't really know that I was doing it until I saw him do that. And then I'd be like, oh my God, okay, I'm going to calm down. I would go to comfort him. And in doing so, it would take me down a couple of notches. And I had a lot of anger that needed to heal, you know, the thoughts that were driving that. And also, like, when I was sad and I was going through some grieving or something was coming up that needed to heal, you know, there he'd be, wants to lick me, wants to tell me, you're still lovable, Lisa. You're still lovable to me, Lisa. I want to kiss you. I want to kiss you. I want to kiss you. And, like, tackle me, you know, and it'd be amazing how strong a dog full of willpower to let me know how lovable I am is, you know. And then, you know, just seeing how one minute my dog can have one mood and then later another mood was very helpful in my awakening, too. I was able to really see that, for the most part, dogs don't hold on to shit. They don't hold on to anything, you know, and really get that they're not walking around from that victim mentality, for the most part, you know. Now, I say that, but then my husband has a dog that was really highly neurotic, a big Doberman. This dog was really, really neurotic, and my mother and father-in-law, who were taking care of this dog, were worried about, you know, other dogs in the neighborhood, or that this dog was going to snap at somebody, or whatever, and so really kept this dog really sheltered. And this dog was afraid. I was afraid of everything. Afraid of going near the refrigerator, afraid of short, narrow places to walk through, afraid of loud noises, afraid of people, afraid of dogs, afraid of cats, afraid of everything. Really just, you could tell this dog was really kind of shut down. My husband wasn't my husband yet. And my husband was living in Las Vegas. He had moved here. And I was living in Texas still. And we were just really, really close friends, business partners, but nothing more than that. And I knew that my husband was feeling alone. He didn't have a lot of friends. He was very focused on work. He was pretty much working every night. And the people in the industry that he could have, quote unquote, gotten close to were all drinking and doing drugs and stuff. And he didn't want to be a part of it. And he's just not very social like that. And so I knew intuitively that he needed his dog and that the dog would never make it on the plane. And so I asked the Holy Spirit if the Holy Spirit wanted me to drive this dog there, that I would do it, but that I need to know how. So the Holy Spirit completely took over this experience. My mother and father-in-law drove with me. We drove in two vehicles. My father-in-law drove ahead of us, and my mother-in-law sat in the passenger seat, and the dog was in the back, and I was in the driver's seat, and drove all the way from Texas to Las Vegas. And the whole process, it was amazing. I didn't even have to tell my mother and father-in-law not to touch the dog or anything. They just innately knew that it was my job now, that whatever it was my job. And the Holy Spirit worked with me, worked with Shadow, it's her sister's name, which is quite an ironic name for being full of fear like that, but worked with her. And by the time we got her, like halfway even down from Texas to Las Vegas, she was going to the bathroom on the side of the road, walking through gas station parking lots, around other cars, around stray cats, around dogs, kids walking by her, and we got her to Las Vegas. And the lesson was also that I was to tell Albert not to keep in his mind the story of how Shadow was before. Allow his mind to elevate to where her mind is now. Not to be in a place of holding on to the stories, because she will go there again. Elevate wasn't the word. It was more like just don't hold the error in your mind. So Shadow still had some issues. She must have thought she was twice her size, because whenever there was any type of path that a dog twice her size can get through, but maybe a box on the ground or something, but she could still definitely make it through, she wouldn't even dare. She wouldn't even try. It's almost like getting a new car and you don't know your car's size or something, so you're overly cautious. Well, she would be so afraid she couldn't walk through anything. And she had plenty of room, but she wouldn't do it. And eventually, you know, we lured her with some popcorn and some assurance, and she trained the fear out of her, too, with that. But it was just being top dog and really holding the truth about her in our minds, regardless of the story that's in hers. And I really believe that that's how the Holy Spirit does things with us, really, and we help each other, is that we hold the truth about each other in our minds, not co-signing the stories of fear and guilt and shame and etc. But dogs and cats are some of our mightiest companions. They really are used to help us to awaken. And it's amazing how just, I can go on and on with stories about animals, because animals have been so useful to me in my life. I've always had pets, and the lessons don't stop. So I really love what you said, Betsy, and Monica, when you were sharing, here you are, and you think you're quote-unquote alone while you're listening to speakers or whatever, but you're really not. You're joining with us. So you're not alone, and your Holy Spirit's with you, and your animals are with you, and ones that passed away are still with you. And I truly believe that no one ever goes anywhere, but that everything really is for our healing. And I know that I was supposed to have Sydney in my life. I know I was supposed to have Allie and Shadow and Corker and Bisky and all of my animals. They're God with fur on them. All of the pieces of the sonship, and just really getting the joining, the lessons are there. So we're not alone. You know, we're not alone. And that when we're afraid to join with our brother, it's because of a story in our mind, not because of our brother. And that all we can do is just go through the process of developing trust. So we're still on the same topic of being in solitude, avoiding friendships and relationships. The last thing I'll say before I turn this over to Cliff is, I've said this many times before, you guys have heard it many times before, but for the sake of the recording and for anybody who hasn't heard this, the word intimacy can be broken down into me see. And that I really would rather somebody love me truly for me than to love some aspect of me that I would have to keep something going, some false smoke and mirrors effect of who I think I need to be to get love. I would rather be loved truly, and I would rather love truly. And so that's the purpose to me of A Course in Miracles, to really get to that. So I'm going to drop the mic for you, Cliff. Thank you.
Okay, so you're talking about pets, you're talking about God in little furry gods. Well, as you might know, Maggie died 2 weeks ago here in the bedroom with me. And so right away that same day, I called this woman that I know that's, I've never met her, but she has a good reputation as a breeder. So I thought, well, I'll call her and find out. I'll have her put me on a list for a little furry piece of God. And I think the ones that she had were part Maltese and part, it wasn't Lapa Opsa, wasn't that? What was the other? Anyways, small furry dog. Anyways, I called her to get on the list, and she said, oh, as a matter of fact, I just had a litter, and I have one left. And I said, oh, really? Yeah, I have a male. I'll send you the picture. And so I gave her my email. Now, this is the same day that Maggie died. And cute, cute little adorable boy. He was like white with like some patterning, gold flecks. And he had a little brown fan around his nose, a little black fan around his nose. Really cute. But I was like, oh my God, a puppy? How much work is a puppy? I forget how much work. I can't remember. Because I had Maggie for 17 years. And I don't remember. I got her when she was 4 months old. So part of her puppiness was over. And she was just adorable when I got her. And, well, she was always adorable. But anyways, as far as God and little furry stoots. So I was thinking today. Oh, well, I procrastinated on that little dog. And she sent me the pictures. He was adorable. I said, well, I'm not sure. And I waited like 5 days. I said, okay, I want to come over. I called her up. She goes, I'm sorry, he's gone. I'm sorry, Max, he's gone. I'm like, aw. It's like, well, that's okay. I wanted a female anyways. And then I called this other woman that already had two dogs, one female, 2 years old, both Yorkies, and one-year-old male. And again, I waited like 5 days. I called her. She sent me pictures. They were cute. And then I called after 5 days, and they were gone. And then I called this other woman Friday. She had a Yorkie poo. I was over in that area. I called her. Oh, I'm sorry, it's sold. So part of me was thinking today, you know, maybe it's okay to be alone. Maybe it's okay not to have a dog. And of course, the pit of my stomach kind of drops down to my feet when I say that, when I think that. It's like, no dog, no cute little. Because when I have a dog, I talk to it all day long. If I'm home and it's like when Maggie was here, it's like, you are such a cute little girl. Yes, you are. You're a cute little angel. Yes, you are. All day long, I'd be talking to her. I'd leave the room, I'd go down and get some crackers, I'd come back, and it's like, oh, you are such a cute little girl. And part of me thinking, oh, is that spiritual? Is that real spiritual? Because I'm making part of the illusion real. And if I went within, there wouldn't be a Yorkie within. And then my mind goes into a loop of like, so Teddy told the story. I don't think Lisa was in the room, but Teddy told the story of how he got his puppy. It's a good story, and I can't do it justice. I will let Teddy tell it sometime. But the puppy came to him. He didn't do anything. He wasn't even looking for a puppy, and the puppy came to him. And so I'm thinking, oh, I need to do nothing. I don't have to call these ads in the newspaper. The puppy will come to me. Okay, Lisa, I see it. You have your hand up. Going to release the mic.
I was only putting my hand in queue, but truth is that I'm gonna have to leave. But I just want to say something real quick about that. You guys can continue to talk about animals and love and all the different ways that the Holy Spirit shows us how we are loved and we can experience our love. I was guided on how to get my cat, and I all of a sudden had the idea pop into my mind. I told my husband, and I was guided on how to get it, where to go, and everything. And it was different because I had always rescued. I had always seen that I needed to rescue. And all the animals that I had had for a while were, especially Sydney. Sydney I got from a kill shelter. So here, the Holy Spirit said, no, you don't need to focus on that. I'm going to tell you because you're supposed to have this cat in your life, and that's it. It doesn't have to be a story. It was so interesting how I just allowed that to happen and how I kind of just sat in that space and looked at how I wanted there to be some story of how I was saving a cat, something like that. And yet I was grateful for just being guided. And when I got Allie, I was very much in love with her and yet also afraid that something was going to happen to her. And so the Holy Spirit has now been looking at that with me and saying, you know, do not look at her as a body or a body of fur. You know, look at her as spirit. That she chose this experience just like you did. That she chose this experience to be with you and to join. And to me, all things really are used for our healing, and we're never alone. You know, whether physically we are or not, we're not bodies. You know, we are spirit. And just like our physical bodies are not remotely near each other right now, we're talking with each other and we're joining with each other in this way. And we join in many ways. So, anyway, thank you so much for joining me for the past almost 3 hours. We only made it through half of the statements for a spiritual ego. So, we may do a spiritual ego part two on another Sunday, maybe next Sunday. It would be fun. So anyway, thank you. I will post this on gentlelessons.com when I edit it, and I'll send an email out letting everybody know that that's what I've done to the Peace of God, etc. groups and whatever. I'll post it on Facebook. I love you guys. Continue without me. I'll talk to you later. Thank you. Bye.
The other thing about I wanted to share about finding a dog or pet is when I got Maggie. I wasn't really looking for a dog. I didn't really want a dog. I thought it was too much responsibility. And a client and also a friend of mine had a litter of puppies. And she goes, Cliff, I want to give you one of the puppies. You get your pick of the puppies as a tip for working on my house. And so I wanted a female. I picked out the runt, the smallest female of the litter, and that's how I got Maggie. Thanks, Lisa. See you. Bye.